This is Afternoons, Claire Blake on 4BC. It's about 13 minutes to 2, and how would you go if you heard this? An 11-year-old girl, Isabel, said this: if you don't be yourself, you're going to be miserable for your whole life. And this comes on the back of Family Court Justice Diana Bryant says she would like to see the court's jurisdiction tested in cases involving medical treatment for transgender children. This is a big issue. And she actually wonders whether the court should be involved at all. And she agrees, she thinks it is innate and society is changing on these issues. From the legal side of things, we have Katrina Ona from Ona Family Law. Thanks for joining us, Katrina.
Thanks, Claire. How are you?
I'm really well, and we can see more about this Four Corners Being Me Yes Tonight on the ABC. Where does the law stand at the moment on this?
So at the moment what happens is there's two stages to treatment for children, transgender children, and at the moment stage one is where they're given what they call sort of anti-puberty blocking medication. Yep. So they usually give it to children around the age of 11 who that then results in their puberty being basically stopped or delayed.
Yep.
But it's reversible. Okay, so the theory is they give them those drugs so that the children can work out for sure whether they want to be a boy or a girl, and if they decide not to proceed, then as soon as the child stops taking the drugs, the puberty, they will develop as per normal, okay? Now, at the moment, you don't need the court's jurisdiction to take those drugs. You used to, but I think it was last year a decision was handed down where a decision was made that the hospitals and the doctors could just hand out, well, could treat the children with these drugs without requiring the court's permission. So there's progress has been made with regards to that step. But stage two, which is the more important sort of stage of the treatment, and some of it's not reversible, is where they want to be given the cross-changing hormones, okay? And usually you can only they start giving you that at 16 years of age.
Yeah.
But the law at the moment is that you cannot get that treatment without consent through the family court. And this is what the Chief Justice is talking about, because Australia's only one of a few countries in the world where you do require the court's permission for the children to undertake the stage two treatment, which is, you know, most of what they're given there is irreversible.
Mm.
Okay, so that's the law at the moment. You can get your stage one treatment without the court's intervention, but you need the court's permission to get stage two. Now, what's happened so far is that where the stage two treatment has been applied for, it has been granted in all cases in these types of matters.
But is it expensive, Katrina?
It's very expensive. So you'd be, depending on the wait time and the lawyer you employ, you'd be budgeting between 20 to 50 grand to do it. So it's very expensive. And this is where the Chief Justice is saying perhaps a test case needs to come before the High Court to decide whether the court needs to be involved at all. Or, at the very least, a comment was made that if the court did need to be involved, that the process was a bit different, so it was much more cost-effective. And the other problem is delays. You know, there is a wait time, you know, before you can come before the court to get permission and to run your case. So
how old, I don't know if you know these stats, but sometimes how old are they before they get through this court decision?
Well, we've got kids under the age of 16 applying, through their parents, basically.
Yeah.
So you can have 12, 13, 14-year-olds applying, seeking permission, and then when they apply, when they are under 16, they have to get through another hurdle and convince the court that what us lawyers refer to as Gillick competence. There was a case decided in the UK referred to as Gillick's case where... Yeah. Where the child is under the age of 16, the court has to make a decision as to whether that child, in fact, has the capacity and maturity to make that decision before the court can rule on it. So for kids that are under 16, they have to get through that hurdle as well. And then for kids 16 and over, they don't have that hurdle, but they still have to apply. So we are seeing young children apply through their parents. The problem is the cost and the delay.
I don't know whether you're prepared to comment on what she said too. She said, from what she's seen, she believes it's completely innate. When all you read, all the psychiatric reports, all the reports about how it affects young people, it's undoubtedly innate. And when they know, they know.
Yeah, look, I can comment In two ways. I can say that I know that the statistics show, apparently the article said, and the Four Corners show indicated that apparently studies show that 30% of adolescents who don't get the treatment attempt suicide and 50% self-harm. Now, that's what the stats are saying. I guess the other comments about whether you know, I think that, you know, everyone would hold a personal view on that. Mm. So I would have some concerns about younger children, I guess, being... permitted to do this without the court's intervention, depending on, you know, their personal situation and their family situation. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a personal view, but, you know, I've got no doubt that there are some kids out there who really, where that does apply, where you know, but, you know, it's a big thing. So I think the stage one treatment is good, where you can delay the puberty, process while you make a firm decision. And it is a rigorous process. Apparently, before a child is given treatment, they're assessed by at least 5 different doctors. Okay, so it's not like you just go and see one doctor and they say, you know, and the parents and the child say, look, can you start giving my child, you know, this puberty halting, you know, treatment?
No, there's side effects with anything. It'd be scary. But I just feel really sad for those kids that are growing up in a household that don't have that kind of money to throw around.
That's right, and that's what the issue is here. You know, so I'd read another article earlier this year where a mother had said that she was a single mom. I think it cost her about $20,000 and she was now significantly in debt, right? And that was for her son. I think by the time he got the treatment and she went through court, he was 17. Mm. And she said the financial impact on her was significant, and that, you know, she didn't think it was fair and she really couldn't afford it, but she did it for him because she knew that his life, you know, she was obviously concerned that he might do something.
Well,
to
yeah, there's all these things in the article, and like you said, 30% of them do go ahead commit suicide. So you'd be hocking your house if you thought it saved your child's life. And they said that one child said, without support and intervention, that her life would be in real danger. Very dark, very bleak, and very short. So I don't think you can underestimate the pain that these kids are in.
No, that's right. And the stats are showing that in 2003 there was only one application to the Royal Children's Hospital for this treatment, and this year there's 100. Okay, so there's been a huge jump in terms of how many children through their parents are applying for the treatment.
Yeah.
And part of that, I think people believe, is due to society becoming more accepting of it being okay.
Yeah.
And people therefore not being as afraid to come forward and say, look, this is what's right for me. Or, you know.
Is this the beginning of a conversation? Like Justice Diana Bryant says she'd just like to see a test case. How likely is that to come about, Katrina?
I think that will come about probably within the next 5 years because of the number of people that are applying now that these stats show us this. It's going to be inevitable that someone is going to be in a position where they just don't have the money and either a lawyer will do it pro bono, like for free, or they'll get some type of funding from some type of group, or someone will represent themselves and take it to the High Court, you know, eventually get to that point and say, look, you know, this, you know, you shouldn't need to be involved in making these decisions. So I think that will happen sooner rather than later, given the stats that have been referred to in this ABC article.
Brilliant to get your expertise. Katrina Ona, family lawyer from Ona Family Law. Thanks, Katrina.
Thanks, Claire.
Thanks so much. And Four Corners Tonight, Being Me, airs on ABC TV. It's coming up to 5 to 2.